If you wish to follow along, of course, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I'll read several verses, but mainly I want to read verses 9 through 17. 9 through 17 of Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. And let me just stop for a moment and say this. I know I've said this probably over and over. I'll say it more, especially as we're in this chapter. Religion has this idea that once a person is saved, whatever that means, once a person is saved, then their battle with sin actually ceases, at least to the large degree. But as I tried to point out last Sunday, that's when the believer's battle with sin really starts. And this is being dead to sin is not about having no effects of sin. If that were true, there's no need for us to have a command, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let me go on. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And how much religion does not like that today? Yielding unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. If we were under the law, we would be under condemnation and sin. Amen. But we're under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. Know ye not. Now listen to this. We'll deal with this in more detail, God willing, later. Not this morning, but listen to what this says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That to which we yield proves who is our master. That to which we yield proves whose servant we are. That's clear right there, is it not? But go on, one more verse. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, I asked some questions 2 or 3 weeks ago. Who then is dead to sin? Christ is dead to sin. Christ is actually, literally, dead to sin. He died to sin on the accursed tree. And we are only dead to sin in Him. In Him. We are dead to sin when He gives us life from above. And remember, it's real life. It's not ethereal life. It's not theoretical life. It's real, bona fide, spiritual life. And we also identify with Jesus Christ because of that life. So who then is dead to sin? Christ is dead to sin, and we are dead to sin in Him. We looked at that last week. What does dead to sin mean? Here's what it means. Christ crucified our old man on the tree. That's what it says. Now, I was so steeped in religion in my younger years that when God saved me, I had trouble, Jack, for years, sorting through the rubbish in my mind when I read passages like this. But as God has been pleased over these years, He's given me a little bit of light, and I believe given you a little bit of light. Remember, Christ is always the sum and substance of everything. Whether it be our salvation or whether it be our service, He's the key to it all. If we attempt to serve God apart from bowing to and yielding to Jesus Christ, it is nothing more than religious duty. But God's people, Paul says, faith worketh by love. If you don't serve God because you love to serve God, then you don't love God. So then, what does dead to sin mean? It means this: Christ crucified our old man on the tree. Now here is the third question, and I will be answering this question for a few Sundays, Lord willing. I'm not going to try to answer it in one Sunday. Now here's the third question I gave you. How do we not live any longer in sin? So, let me say this to begin with. This is impossible. That is not living in sin. This is impossible apart from faith in and identification with and yielding to Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here's my main text. Likewise reckon. Notice that word, those words in verse 11. Likewise reckon. Well, he's referring back to something he's just said, correct? Likewise reckon. So what is it that we're to base this on? Base what on? Likewise reckoned also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, how? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. What's the likewise? Knowing, here it is, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Here it is. Here is the statement. For in that he died, that is, in that Christ died, he, Christ, died unto sin once. That's where it's at. That's where it's at. So it's likewise reckoned. In other words, in a similar way, as Christ died to sin on the tree, based upon his death, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. But never apart from through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let me move on. Christ dying unto sin once is our impetus. The gospel message, hearing the gospel preached in truth, and hearing it in the power and enablement of the Spirit of God, is that which is our motivation for not living in sin. If the message of the gospel of the person and work of Christ does not encourage me to not live in sin, then I do not know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul makes the statement, and I'll deal with it in detail, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law. You're under grace. And the same grace that brought you out of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son is the same grace that will guide you and lead you and protect you and keep you. And God's grace is not a desire in God. It is the power of God. It is the power of God. But these are astounding words. Think of it. For in that Christ died, and that's my title's this, Christ died unto sin once. This is an astounding statement. And I hope that I can impress upon our, at least upon our minds, the Spirit of God's going to have to apply it, no doubt. But I hope I can impress upon our minds what has been impressed upon my mind concerning this. Christ died unto sin once. I have four thoughts concerning this phrase, and I'll deal mainly with the third and fourth one. Number one, yes, Christ died for our sins, but that's not what Paul says here. This says he died unto sin. Most of what is pawned off on men and women today as Christianity, when they read a phrase like this, for in that he died unto sin once, then they'll begin preaching, Jesus died for your sins. That is not what he's talking about here. Yes, I thank God that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Don't you? That's my hope. Yes, I can also say this. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for sinners. But that's not what Paul says here. Paul writes that he, Christ, died unto sin once. Secondly, here's the second thing. Not just sins. That is the wrong acts. But sin. The actual source of the wrong acts. He died unto sin once. Our sin against God. And we read that source in verse 6 again. Knowing this. That our old man. That's the source of all of our sins. Is that sin that is within us that's called the old man. Some call it the old nature. I got no problem with that, but the scriptural phrase back is the old man. The old man. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Christ. That the body of sin, not sins, but the body of sin might be destroyed. And you say, I don't feel that. It ain't about us feeling it. It's about what he did when he died on that tree. Now, some say this is judicial, not experiential. And I agree, but judicial is still real. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? When I used to hear that word in religion, that they would usually say it's judicial when they wanted to just float something out there, but they really had no idea what I was talking about. They'd call it judicial. It is judicial. In other words, it happened to Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, and had nothing to do with me experiencing anything. I wasn't even born yet. And yet my old man was crucified with him on that tree. Amen. And the body of sin, not just sins, but the fountain, the source, was destroyed. And no matter what you see and feel down in here, let us believe God. Let us believe God, knowing, I just love this. Knowing, as Joe says, oh my. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So as I said, it's not just sins, the wrong acts, but sin itself, the actual source of all of our problem against God. Christ dealt the death blow to the source of our sins. He didn't just die for our sins. You see what this is saying? How many people out there in religion that calls itself Christianity is teaching that today? Every passage, some passages I'm going to read here in a moment, they always say, he died for sins. And that is definitely right. I am not downing that. But that's only a little speck of what Jesus Christ did. Amen. Only a little speck. And even then, when they talk about him dying for our sins, they don't really believe, they don't really believe that he actually paid the price for our sins when he died for our sins. It's kind of like we got sins, and when he suffered on the tree, that made it possible for us to be saved if, and then they add in all of their things. When he died on that tree, the source of our sin was destroyed. That's not my opinion. That's what the Holy Book of God says. Now, reckon it to be so, right? In other words, take an inventory of what? Not your life, not your thoughts, not your actions, but take an inventory of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Likewise, reckon, see it? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. So that lets me know this is individual. Because he could have just wrote, likewise, reckon yourselves. But it's ye yourselves. This is not collective. Well, this is the way we all believe. No, it's got to be this. This is who I believe. Just believing what everybody else at chapel believes is not enough. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ told us these, he gave us these words. I call my sheep by what? Name. Not in groups, although there may be many called by name and it looks like a big group at some time. But Mac, he calls each individual one of his sheep by name, and they individually, lovingly, willingly, knowingly believe and serve Jesus Christ. So again, Christ dealt the death blow to the source. But now here's the third and fourth thing. Here's the third one, rather. Now we're going to try to get to the nitty-gritty of this. When Christ died the death, and he died the death, there were two men that died beside him, and their deaths accomplished nothing for humanity. That did it. As a matter of fact, their deaths did not even accomplish anything for their own soul. But when he died the death, when Christ died the death, he died unto, that is, he ended the matter. He cried out right before he gave up the ghost, "It is finished."
Amen. That's right.
And we're told by those who know the Greek, I don't know the Greek very good, I can study those who do, they say that it could be translated this way: paid in full. Whenever they said what you had a note, a debt, and you had a piece of parchment or something, and your name was on it, and your creditor's name was on it, and the amount you owed on it, when you paid that amount off, Mac, they said they used to write on it or stamp on it or something, paid in full. What we would call paid in full. It is finished. Tetelestai. It's done. It's over with. But think about this. Let me give you, Young's literal translation puts it this way: for in that he died to sin, he died once. Now, wait a minute. Him dying unto sin? He had no sin, right? He knew no sin. In him was no sin. But the book tells us he was made to be sin for us. Made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So again, Young's little translation says, for in that he died to sin, he died once. In that he liveth to God. But here is the Amplified Bible. And of course, the Amplified Bible is not a translation. It is a paraphrase. But it's very good here. And I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this. Let's read it word for word. For by the death he died. And that's good. Because remember, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. But not just any old death. Jack, he wasn't allowed to just die in his sleep for our sins, because it took more than that. He had to die unto sin. He couldn't just die for sin. He had to die unto sin. So, here's what it says. For by the death he died to sin. And then they got in brackets, ending his relation to it. I like that. Because when he hung on that tree, that's the one and only time, but it was the time when he had a relation to sin. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what this book's saying? For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once for all. And I like that too. My sins are so great. My crimes against God are so massive and so ugly. You would think it would take 1,000, 1,000,000 deaths to satisfy God's justice, but it didn't. He died unto sin, what? Once. Once, I like that. For by the death he died to sin, ending his relation to it once for all. And the life that he lives, he is living to God in unbroken fellowship with him. I like that. Now, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That's the source of it, brothers and sisters. It's not us mustering up some ability, but it is this: yield, yield, yield. Refuse to yield to the flesh. Yield to God and his righteousness. More about that later as well. Now, here's number four. There, on the cross, and I'm going to give a scripture for what I've been saying, because after all, that's all that really matters. My deductions, Jack, don't matter. My trying to be logical and rational, that doesn't matter. Does it talk about Jesus Christ having a relation to sin at any time? If it does, Paul tells us here, when he died unto sin once. And he lives unto God. And as the Amplified Bible says, in unbroken fellowship with him. So here, there on the cross, and there only, now let's get this straight, there only, there on the cross, and there only did he ever have a relation to sin. And if you want to follow along with these, but I'm probably going to move pretty quickly. 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 21. I've done mentioned this one, but look at it. For he, that is God the Father, for he hath made him, that's Christ the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us. I don't understand what all that means, but I know it means what it says. And I know it is real enough that when we read the 22nd Psalm, which we clearly know was the words, or at least, well, many of them were actual words he spoke. Jack, others were thoughts that he thought. When he hung on that tree, he talked about his grief, his guilt. Why? Because he was made sin for us. He did more than die for sins. He died unto sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Turn to Romans 8. Listen to this one verse. Romans 8. We're talking about a relation that Christ had to sin. But only at one time. And that's when he hung on that tree. When he died, it was over with. He paid the debt. He settled the thing. He destroyed the problem. He crucified the old man. Look at it. Verse 3 of Romans 8. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, don't try to say, well, the law wasn't weak, it's the flesh was weak. That's not what it says. It says the law was weak through the flesh. Now, the law wasn't flawed, but it was weak. All the law, Paul ably, and I know others have said it, the law is like an x-ray. It can maybe show you the problem, but it can't fix the problem.
Amen.
It don't do nothing. As a matter of fact, you get too much of that x-ray, it can kill you too. You try to stand before God in the merits of the law, it's going to kill you. It's going to kill you, but me, I digress, as they say. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, what did he do? Condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? His flesh. I've told you all this before, but I want to say it again. Maybe this will help you again this morning. Maybe someone else. Maybe God will open an eye this morning. Years ago when I was in religion, I thought that meant Jesus Christ came and preached against sin. He condemned sin. And when he's in the flesh of his body, he preached against sin. That ain't what this is talking about. He condemned sin where? In his flesh. That's a relation to sin. Would you not say so? Here's another passage. Galatians chapter 3. Somebody says, well, you're picking and choosing. Well, you better pick and choose some of these passages because they are the passages that give us the gospel in no uncertain terms. Judas hanged himself. Go thou do likewise. That's the truth of the Bible, but that ain't the gospel. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Now, I was being a little facetious when I said, you're picking and choosing. Galatians chapter 3, look at it, just one verse. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now, why did the curse come? Because of what? Sin and sins. And he was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hung on a tree. So when he hung on that tree, he was accursed of God.
Yeah.
And somebody says, how do I experience that? You don't want to experience that. You need to be grateful to God that he experienced that.
Amen.
That was his relation to it and never our relation to it because he stood as our substitute and our representative. I'm glad I don't have to make all this up. I'm glad it's right here in this book because this is so wise. Do you understand that? In Christ Jesus is the wisdom of God, of how a holy God can be just and yet justify creatures like me and you.
Yeah,
that's an astounding thing. That's gospel. That's gospel. Here's another one, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And folks, there's a whole lot more than this. There's a whole lot more than this. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 28. So Christ was once offered to, what's that say? Bear the sins of many. Do you see that? To bear. Now that is, the word in the Greek is bore, it's not carry, it's to bear. Isaiah wrote it this way. The Lord God, the Father, laid on him the iniquity of us all. And that's more than a saddle on his back. It talks about actual penetration, actual going into the body. So much so that Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 2:24, that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And he died to it once when he died on that tree. And now that he lives unto God. I like that. I like that. So again, where am I at? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And look, and unto them that look for him. That's all it takes, folks. Look. Not looked. Now, yes, we looked. But we still look. Peter said, to whom coming? Folks, it's just looking to him. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and live in sin. God forbid. We're not under the law, but under grace. But that doesn't mean we go out and sin so grace can abound. Because if God's your master, you're going to serve God. You're going to be yielding to God. Now, you will not do it perfectly. And when you don't yield, you start yielding. When you mess up yielding, you just keep on yielding. When you fall flat on your face, you repent and you yield some more. It's just a continual yield. Yield, yield. But unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. He ain't got no sin in him. Let me tell you something. You ain't gonna have no sin in you either. Because even if we're alive and remain, even in these fallen, fleshly, Adamic bodies, if he comes back in the next few moments, he will that quick change this.
Amen.
And we will then be done with it. Like Christ was done with it when he died on that tree.
Amen.
Yeah. But let me tell you, we are not done with it yet. This is why it is a battle, a struggle. It is yielding, yielding. So, let me give you another one. Turn to Isaiah 53. I know this is familiar to everyone here, probably everyone listening live stream, but It's a little bit of a comfort. It's just a little bit of a manifestation that just maybe, Linda Pendleton, just maybe I really do love the Lord Jesus Christ because I still like hearing about him. I still need to hear about him. I've not graduated from him and need to now know how I need to be this or that. My only impetus, my only encouragement to serve God is to keep being told about him.
Amen.
That encourages me. All right, Isaiah 53. Look at it. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, folks, that's much more than just you got upset because your bill went up last week. We're talking about griefs and sorrows because of our crimes against God down in here. Because of our coldness of heart. Because even though we've been given this great and marvelous thing called faith, we all too often exhibit unbelief toward God.
Yeah.
And though we are the most blessed people that will ever exist on the face of the earth, I'm talking about God's people, yet we murmur and complain at the drop of a hat. But yet he remains faithful. And he's remaining faithful to his son. And if I've been his son, he's going to be faithful to me, Jack Meadows. Look at it. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, here's what we thought. Well, he's getting what he deserved. There is a morsel of truth in that. But what he deserved, or what he was getting, was what we deserved.
Amen.
And when God found our sins, or seen our sins, or both, in his own body, God punished him instead of punishing us. And when he did that, he died unto sin. His relation to sin, gone. go. But he was wounded. Who wounded him? Men did wound him, but so did the Father. Awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow. What sword? Not that spear that Roman soldier pierced his side with, but the sword of the wrath of Almighty God. And he's the only one that ever tread the winepress of the wrath of God. And he did it alone. But he did it for us. Even when we were despising him and not esteeming him. For when we were, what? Enemies. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. And you think, well, I so screwed up last week. Yeah, you probably did. And I probably did. But he loved us before when we all was nothing but screw up.
Yeah.
When our whole life was toward self, sin, and Satan in the world. And he still loved us. Still called us out of darkness. You think he's going to turn his back on you now? He will not. And if you're his son or you're his daughter, he will correct you because he chastens every son that he receives, and he does it in love. It may not feel like love, but bless God, it's love. Nonetheless, move on. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, Isaiah was saying this hundreds of years before Christ even died, but yet he writes, we are healed. Don't you like that? Look at another, verse 10. Yet it pleased, that is, gave the Lord complete satisfaction. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. There's the real place. It was not what men did unto him, but it was what the Father did unto him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make, now think about it, his soul, not just his body, but his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now if God sent him to die for everybody, everybody will be saved.
That's right, amen.
That's just the way it is. But this book don't teach everybody will be saved. Some people will be cast into the lake of fire. But there's some people whose names are written in a thing called the Lamb's Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Glory to God in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Why? For he shall bear their iniquities. And when he died, my beloved, when he died on that tree, he died unto sin. He died unto sin. I submit this to you in closing. This and this alone encourages me. Let's read it. Let me get back to my text. This and this alone encourages me. Romans chapter 6. Now think about it in this light of what I've just preached to you. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, he didn't just leave us in a dead state. You see it? Even our being dead to sin, Jack, it's not here. We're alive unto God through Jesus. I actually think about God now. I actually rejoice in knowing something about God now in the face of his son. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Now, it's in your mortal body. You see it? It's in your mortal body, but don't let it reign. Don't let it reign. Say, how do I do that? Just don't let it reign. When it rises up, put it off. Didn't Paul say put off the old man? Well, I thought he was crucified with Christ. He was, but he's still very much alive in here. And when he raises up his ugly head, and he will put him off. Like you'd shed a garment when you get too hot. Just put it off. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. The lusts are there, folks. God help us, but they're still there. But we don't have to obey it. Do you see that? Now, yeah, there might be a time coming along. God will teach us a lesson. Peter, Satan hath desired you to sift you as wheat. Peter had no say in the matter. Did he? He had no say in the matter. But that didn't justify Peter for what he did. But God taught him a valuable lesson, did he not? You see, our God is so sovereign and wise, we can't wrap our puny little minds around this whole thing, but that never gives us an excuse to let sin reign in our mortal bodies and obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't give in to it. If the mind starts to wander and to think of this or that horrid thing, then Paul says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely. Redirect the mind. And is it the new man renewed in the mind? In knowledge after the image of him that created him? You see, it ain't that difficult to do the right. It's difficult not to yield to the wrong. Because those passions are still within us and yet so strong and natural to us. You see, when God saves you, the old man don't even improve, not in the least iota. As a matter of fact, now the old man is really exposed for what he is, and his ugly head arises. Let's move on. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Can I be this simple? Just do what's right. Isn't that it? Just do what's right. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Well, what do we say then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Here's why. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked in this. We were the servants of sin, but if God really performed a work upon us, that will change. It doesn't say we'll never sin again, but sin will not reign in our mortal bodies. So again, I say this and this alone encourages me. Here I submit two more things. Sin is in our mortal bodies, but we are to refuse it any throne time. You hear what I just said? Sin's in your mortal body. The lusts are there. The thoughts will arise. The passions will swell. The desires will well up within us. But don't allow it any throne time.
Amen.
And I think I gave you this. You remember the quote, the phrase that Martin Luther used about this thought of not living in sin? He said, I can't keep the birds from flocking, but I sure can keep them from nesting. Here's my third thing I submit to you. Yield, yield, yield. Keep reminding yourself of this. Pray to God that he keeps reminding you. Yield, yield, yield. And when you fail, yield, yield, yield. Don't stop yielding because you didn't yield one time. You get it? It's a matter of life. It's a way of life. It's not a matter of perfection. It's a matter of yielding. Heavenly Father, oh God, we are so sinful, so prone to fall, but we trust you. Our hope is in our Son, in your Son, our substitute, our representative. God, lead us by your Spirit. Enable us. Work in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. I pray for Paul and Paula and their travels and back home, and I pray for Joe and Debbie and of course, the Parks family, we thank you, God, for Sandy and her eyes. Lord, may they continue to improve, and may she get the benefits of that great blessing. But Lord, in all things, bow us to your wise sovereign purpose, no matter what you bring our way. We give you the praise and the honor in Christ's name. Amen.